We're going to show a video now, Harlan. Do you have any comments to make for the video? All right, watch the video.
My name's Dan Thomas. I was born June 28, 1984 in Omaha, Nebraska. And as of right now, I'm currently serving a 10-year sentence in prison. My name is Joshua White. I'm 23 years old. I've been in the system down in Jamison for about almost 2 years now. I grew up without a dad. A lot of people can relate to that. There was no dad. There was many father figures around, many men. My mom is what I used to call a man-eater. She hated men. She hated everything about the male species. I think she pretty much only used them for, you know, her desires, her passions, and things of that nature. And most of my childhood, up to about 11 years old or so, was engulfed in darkness, in witchcraft, learning how to rebel, learning what it meant to be isolated, learning what it meant to be cold-hearted, I guess you would say. I grew up in a different place. My dad was a pastor, so I grew up in the faith, but I kind of just got off when I was probably like 9, and through my life, it's been kind of up and down, and I got myself into, instead of trusting in the Lord, I kind of just went on to drugs, and it helped me with my pain and everything I was going through.
I learned what sexual rites were, bloodlettings, things of that nature, orgies. I learned the explicitness of those from a year early age.
When I was about 17 years old, I got involved with a younger, my girlfriend at the time, and she became pregnant. She was 15 and I was 17, and that was a real struggle for me because I was just a kid myself, and I made a promise that, you know, as I looked down at her, I said, you know, I'm going to take care of you, you know, I love you, but in my mind, I didn't know how to love her.
This part of my life, I was probably about right to turn 13 years old, and I set fires. I was explicitly hatred towards anybody. I didn't care. I rebelled against the cops. I rebelled against my grandma. I stole from my family. I led it into doing drugs and more alcohol, things of this nature. Really started to take precedence over my life.
I was such a selfish person at the time. You know, I wanted to change in my heart. I wanted to change, but those drugs kept on calling me, and every time I would come to a situation where I know that the Lord was talking to me, I just kind of ignored it and kind of just kept on using drugs, and we ended up getting she put a separation on me, and that was one of the hardest times of my life, and it's one of the times when I really cried out to God and said, God, change me, you know, I want to be there for my daughter.
About 16 to 20 years old is big change in my life. When I was like 16 years old, I started what you would call, like, in a sense, prostituting myself, being a somebody who just goes out there and does it because I can and things of that nature. And, I didn't know it at the time, but I was being used in the devil's army and things of that nature. But I was still into the drugs, into the intravenous drug use, the snorting, the drinking, the smoking. I really was anti-Christian.
Drugs came knocking again, and found myself using again, and this time I went to a little harder drugs, and to kind of numb the pain, I just kind of overdosed on it. They brought me back to Jameson, and I was down in solitary, and I had lost my mind for about 45 days, and in that time, I was just angry at my family, angry at my brothers, who I thought betrayed me at the time, because they had put me in that restraining chair at the jail. It was a very scary time for me, but the Lord brought me out of that.
I was living on the streets from 16 to about
Now, what it comes down to is it's all about the Lord changing lives and changing hearts, and that's the awesome thing, that the Lord is still at work and changing hearts and changing lives. And the first guy, Dan Thomas, he's been out about 2 years in September, and so I've been mentoring him about every week I see him, and he's doing well. His goal is to be a missionary or a pastor, but he's interested in spreading the gospel. He has a unique personality that people like. And then the other one, Josh White, he went through Teen Challenge in Brookings, and he, neat young man, he had, now he's a youth pastor in Sisseton church over there, and he just got married, went to his wedding here about 3 months ago, and so they're doing awesome, but it's difficult. It's difficult, especially for Dan Thomas, the first one, because he didn't have any Christian parents. He never knew how to, you know, live on the outside. He was kind of grew up in the prison system, and so, you know, he didn't know how to handle a checkbook. He didn't, I had to go in and help him set up stuff, and so it's difficult, and the Lord is keeping him close to him, and there's a lot of negative trying to pull him in because his family isn't Christian, and so he's talking to them about the Lord, but the biggest thing is that his goal is to get further in ministry. He completed some of his theology classes in prison and did some work there, so the Lord is awesome. He does awesome work on people. That's what keeps me going back, is people whose lives are changed. And so I thank you and praise the Lord for you, for your support and prayers, and for your gifts. Philippians 2, I'm going to change the verses there from verse 5 through 11, verse 5 through 11. You know, what is it to have the mind of Christ? You know, that's my, you know, that has to happen to the men in prison, to us. It doesn't make any difference. Paul says we are to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just being able to turn to your word and to gather here on Sunday, the freedom and to do that. We are blessed, and just pray for your Holy Spirit to open each one of our eyes to the truth of what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? It's there's so many things that are trying to say you'll have peace of mind if you do this or if you get this or the world, you know, maybe the latest phone or the latest technology. You know, there's always a desire to do get something new and then you'll be happy. That's what they try to tell you on TV and the advertisements and magazines, and only if you have this or that or do this or that, you'll have peace. But there's a false peace, I believe, that the world gives to non-believers. I see it in the prison all the time. Ask them how they're doing. Oh, we're doing fine. And they don't want to talk about the Lord, or they're not interested. They seem to enjoy the blindness that is in their heart. They keep going, talking their negative, sensual things. And so it's hard for Christians there, new Christians, because there you make a choice and to come out and go to church. And of course, not everyone who goes to church at the prison is a Christian. And some of them use it to try to further their to get out of prison. So, but God is not mocked. He's not, God knows our hearts, and I remind them of that. You know, it's at the Bible studies and whenever I talk to them, you know, we need to get our life right with the Lord. That false peace could be even in religion. I had religion for 37 years, but I wasn't saved. And so it's when the Lord brought repentance into my heart, it became a very personal thing to me, and I realized it's about a love relationship. Some people I've talked to, I've worked in a nursing home, and one guy said, well, I gave $12,000, I'm okay, to church, and my name's in the brick. And so I couldn't change his mind or talk to him. And so there's also a danger of comparing ourselves with others, and rather than comparing ourselves with the Lord and asking the Lord to show us what's going on in our heart and mind. You know, the Bible says we are, or Jesus said we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And what does that mean, to love the Lord? You know, that's been thinking about that lately, and to love him in that way. As I was talking about, the worldly people have their peace, but it's a false peace. And it says in Psalm 10, verse 4, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. And so it's one of these things that we have to seek after the Lord. And but today's society is trying to get Christians to focus more on the worldly things than the things of God. And I get caught up in that, but it's a continually keep coming back to trying to focus on the Lord and asking the Lord to take control of my thoughts and mind. You know, who can have perfect peace? First of all, you know, we need to be born again. We need to be converted in the heart. We need to be changed. And that's essential. As Romans, you know, 1 or Romans 12 says that we are to be renewed in our mind, transformed in our mind. And why do we need to be transformed? We need to be transformed because, you know, we're born in sin. And therefore we inherited sin from Adam, and therefore we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how do we do that? We have to focus on the Lord and welcome him into our life and admit that we need him in our life. You know, pride, I believe, is the number one problem I have, we all have. It's something that Satan fell from heaven because of pride, and he tries to still work on us. And I thought the other day, going to work, I said, Lord, you know, it's going to be nice not to have the spiritual warfare going on when I'm in heaven. That'll be all done. And there's always that in your mind, there's that warfare going on. And Satan likes to put thoughts in our mind and then blame us for it. And so I don't believe it's a sin to have a sinful thought. It's if we start dwelling on that sinful thought and we allow that to take control of our mind. And that's what James says, at least. And it produces death. You know, how do we have the mind of Christ? I like to use what do you call that word? It's like the mind is the mind of Christ. So M is for memorize, and we have the mind of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. That we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, we must think like Christ did, or similar to what he thought. And Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have treasured your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so evidently, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 say, and here in Psalm it talks about Psalm 119, that I've treasured his word. Are we treasuring his word in our heart? What do we think about most of the day? Do we treasure the Lord, or treasure his word? Are we thinking about his word? Are we thinking about the Lord? What is our mind set on? And so it's vital that we control of the thought, our thoughts in our mind. Many times inmates will say, well, I don't feel like reading the Word of God. Well, I said, we don't go by our feelings. Your feelings got you into prison. You go by what you do the right thing and you will feel good. You can never lead yourself into good feelings, or you can never feel your way into good actions, but you can act your way into good feelings. And so that's a big thing that we have to realize, that sometimes we don't feel like doing something, but we do it because it's what the Lord requires, and how we can have peace with God. So M is for memorize. Memorizing the Word of God is vital to having the mind of Christ. I is for intentions of our heart. What are the intentions of our heart? You know, what do we think about? Why do we get up in the morning? Do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day, and to make him first in our thoughts throughout the day? And what are we setting our mind on? Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. It's setting the Lord always before us, like David said, and therefore, you remember when David was in trouble, many times he would sit before the Lord, he would talk to the Lord, and it's a good example that we lean on the Lord, and not on our own understanding, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. N is for notice. Notice God. Notice God's work in your life now and in the past. You know, you run into discouraging days or whatever in our lives, and when I look at how the Lord has been with me in the past, and I notice these things in my life, it encourages me. The Lord got me through this, he'll get me through the next thing. And if we notice his creation, the beauty of creation, and notice God in our relationships, we can set the Lord always before us and pay attention to what the Lord is doing around us. And dedicate, D of mind is to dedicate our life to the Lord. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And so that's just to know that and to remember those things is powerful when we remember his promises and think about his promises in our life. We dedicate our heart to the Lord. We dedicate our plans every day to the Lord. We ask the Lord to direct our steps every morning and realize that we have the Holy Spirit, but are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we asking him to direct our paths every day and lead us? I believe that's vital. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah 17:9. So I believe when Christ comes into our life, we are new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But we still have the flesh, and that flesh still wants to do what it wants to do. And therefore, Paul even talked about that battle in Romans 7, how things he didn't want to do, he did, and things he did want to do, he didn't do. And so that can happen in our lives, but if you read chapter 8 of Romans, it's nothing but victory. And that's because he focused on the Lord and what the Lord had done and who the Lord was. And so it's vital what we set our mind on. I've noticed in the Old Testament where it says that they didn't prepare their heart to follow the Lord, as it says in 2 Kings 12:14, the king did not prepare his heart. So there must be preparation for each one of us to prepare our heart to serve the Lord. And it takes putting good things into our mind, into our thoughts, and to set our mind on things above, because we're not citizens of this earth. As Christians, we're citizens of heaven, and we're just passing through. And so it's a matter of, it can get depressing looking at the news, but if we realize we pray for these things on the news and the people in these circumstances, and realize that Jesus said all these things would come to place, come to pass, that there's going to be fear coming on the earth for what's happening on the earth. And I believe those things are happening today. And so it's a matter, are we going to be that person that people can turn to and we can share the love of Christ, that Christ is a solid foundation and he is our strength and he is our God, that this earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. And so in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." And so stayed there means that to lean on, we lean on the Lord, our minds are leaning on God. And because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. And he will keep him in perfect peace. In other words, in Hebrews, it says shalom, shalom, peace, peace. And God repeated, Jesus repeated, God repeated these things when he wanted us to know that it's true, that we can have it, it's there for us, we can have this perfect peace. And that only comes from spending time with the Lord, leaning on the Lord, putting our trust in Him. And that's why it's good for each of us. I need to do it regularly. Lord, what am I trusting in? Who am I trusting in? What is my life about? Am I trusting in the Lord, or am I trusting in my own deeds and focusing on negative things in my life? Either God is in control or He isn't. He's not up there wringing His hands, what should I do next? He's God, and He said we're going to have difficulties in life. So that's the awesome thing about God, is He has so many encouraging things in His Word. And so as we study His Word and set our mind on things above and seek the Lord with our whole heart, I believe His plans are plans of good for us, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. From Jeremiah, it says that He will give us a hope and a future. But that next verse says, for those who seek for Me with all their heart. And so are we seeking the Lord with all our heart? Because, the times are, I think we're living in serious times, and we need to make sure our minds are stayed on the Lord and we are seeking Him. And that's my desire in the prison, is to give hope that people can have peace. Some of these people have lived in chaos so long that that's all they know. They think that's normal to have chaos in their life. But Jesus comes to give peace, and peace more abundantly and life more abundantly. It says in John 10:10 that the evil one comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life and life more abundantly. And so we can live that abundant life even in the midst of chaos around us when we have our mind stayed on Him. Shall we pray? Lord, I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You for the work You're doing in each one of our lives. We know there's a battle. It says in Ephesians 6, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of darkness in heavenly places. And we thank You that You did not leave us helpless, but You've given us everything we need in life, for life and godliness. And we thank You for that promise. We thank You for Your word that we have so readily available to us. And help us to hunger for it and to thirst for the things of God, and that we may bring honor and bring glory to Your name. Thank You for this opportunity, and thank You for each one here. You know the needs of each one. Just meet those needs. You are awesome God. You can do anything. And so we give You thanks for what You have done in our lives and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.